Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Are we now heading into the master bedroom?
Yes.
129, was there sort of an office set up in there as well, 130?
Correct.
And are you, again, looking through the floor, looking everywhere for any items of evidence?
Correct. Anything to indicate that what happened in the other room transferred into this?
Okay. Or any cleanup from after it?
Correct.
As you went through this, did you do the same sort of thing, looking through the floor and walls, 132, 133, for any blood evidence?
Correct.
Did you observe any in the bedroom?
No.
Do you go into the master bathroom and check there as well?
Yes.
The 134, 135. Did you observe any evidence, blood evidence in the master bathroom?
I did not.
And again, checking even the toilet itself as well as the trash can?
Yes.
That we see in 137 and 138. So other than the one drop or whatever smear of blood on the kitchen faucet, did you see any other blood evidence at the scene?
No.
Let me put that in a different way. Other than what was around Charles's remains.
Correct. No trails, no swipes, nothing that other than the sink faucet in the kitchen and the area where the body was.
So, you told us that you cleaned up the blood there and you saw that defect in the ground that was consistent, or in the flooring, that was consistent with a bullet strike, correct?
Correct.
When you were looking at this scene, actually I'm going to start with 15, Did you note injuries to Charles Vallow himself?
Yes.
On the front of him, where did you note the gunshot wounds to him?
Immediately before the medical examiner arrived, the only visible gunshot wound was in the lower left abdomen area.
Did you learn one it was in the chest underneath some of the medical debris?
Yes.
When you are looking at this scene, are you able to utilize part of your shooting reconstruction training to try to determine any type of trajectory or if anything is consistent with trajectory based upon the scene itself, items that you are able to view there?
I do try to apply my knowledge of that to the scenes as I go to them and go through them and with whatever evidence or information comes directly back to me.
Are you relying on, for instance, the location of Mr. Vallow?
That's part of it.
Are you relying on the location of the casings?
That's another part of it. Not a major part, but it is another part.
Are you relying on the location of the projectiles?
Yes.
When the medical examiner came, were you also able to see exit wounds on Mr. Vallow?
Yes, in conjunction with also the chest wound.
Okay. So when the medical examiner came, you saw a second injury to the front side of him?
Correct.
Where was that approximately?
In the sternum.
So for us, somewhere in?
About the center, maybe roughly the center of the chest.
Okay. So, and the other one you said was in the abdomen?
Yes.
When the medical examiner was there, where did you observe other gunshot wounds on his back?
I observed another one that would have been just to the left of the spine, and then another one that would have been by the left shoulder blade scapula area.
Okay. Now, given the number of casings, did you start with an idea that there might be two shots?
Yes.
Given the number of wounds on Mr. Vallow, did that appear consistent with that theory?
Very much so.
So two entrances, two exits?
Yes.
When you saw the projectile that you recovered, that we see in Exhibit 20 on the side over here, that entered into that baseboard, given the injuries to Mr. Vallow and the projectiles and the location of this, were you able to determine any consistencies of where the shooter may have been when that occurred?
Approximate location, yes.
And how did you do that?
Based on the wounds to Mr. Vallow, the location of where the projectile had ended up and where the casings were, the working theory at that point was that the firearm ejected the casings to the right, striking the wall, that has the curve there, and bounced back towards the west wall. The projectile would have continued on a relatively straight path and embedded itself in the baseboard at the other end of the room.
So would that have put the shooter somewhere in this area?
Yes.
And so that, to you, seemed consistent with one of the shots having gone through him and ended up what we see in Exhibit 20 over here in the baseboard, Mr. Vallow being somewhere over in this area.
Correct.
Okay. Given the information that you obtained, let me ask you this. Given the information that you saw at the scene there, again, with the casings, the injuries to Mr. Vallow, both to the abdomen and the shoulder, and then after you cleaned up the blood, the damage to the floor underneath the location of his left shoulder, were you able at that point to start, have any concept or have a idea of what would be consistent with where the shooter may have been and where Mr. Vallow may have been for that shot?
Yes.
What did you base that on?
Again, a lot of the factors that have been discussed, the location of the projectile, item number 4, the defect in the floor that was underneath him, the location of the second casing. It was all consistent with the shooter having been at the feet, not necessarily right upon the feet of Mr. Vallow, but in that direction, close enough so that the projectile could, again, bounce off that wall and land on the west wall.
The projectile or the
casing? The casing, sorry.
When you were looking at this scene, I'm going to put 56 up. Obviously, there's no exact, I'm going to move Mr. Vallow this way just to kind of be looking the same direction. Did this defect appear to be in the area of Mr. Vallow's shoulder?
Yes.
Now, Mr. Vallow had been rolled a couple times by the time you cleaned that scene up.
Yes.
So you didn't like stick a rod through him there and see if that worked?
No, that would be inappropriate.
Are you even allowed to do that?
No.
The medical examiner frowned on that.
Yes, that's the body is theirs by law.
So you're basically able to look at where he was located and say that that is consistent with being underneath his left shoulder.
Yes, and we did take measurements of the body before it was moved.
All right. So when you measured where the body was and then you cleaned up that blood and measured where that projectile divot was, was that consistent with where his left shoulder was?
Yes.
Given that information that you had at that time, were you able to draw any conclusions as to whether or not the evidence was consistent with Charles Vallow being laying on the ground when he was shot?
Very much so in the position that you see him. He was the second shot that entered the abdomen would have been where he was lying.
Did you attend the autopsy itself?
I did.
And when you were at the, can you tell us what it means when you attend an autopsy as a detective?
So as a detective, we go to the medical examiner on the date that they're going to do the autopsy. There is the autopsy suite itself where the doctors and technicians work with the bodies. Observers will be outside of that suite, but able to communicate with the staff. There's a window where we can see everything that's going on. And like I said, we can communicate either by a phone that's on the wall or they'll come around and talk with us. We have the ability to observe everything that transpires. There's even a camera overhead that we can manipulate to get a different view. Say the feet are toward
way. I was going to say inches.
Yes.
Not feet, but inches.
Correct.
And so would that be a normal trajectory from hitting the wall to where they landed?
I am not surprised by seeing that, yes.
According to how fast they would be going, how fast does a casing come out of a gun? I don't really know.
I've never chronographed a casing coming out of a gun. I've only chronographed bullets. So I have no idea how fast a casing comes out. It doesn't come out with enough force to really hurt anybody.
So there weren't any divots in the wall or anything like that? Because
there could be microscopic divots, but it'd be very difficult to find.
And you didn't find any that were visible to the eye?
Nothing that caught my eye, no.
So were you there at the time when Alex did the walkthrough?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you were there. Did he describe where he was standing?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Did he show you physically where he was standing?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Was there a wall right next to where he was standing?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Your Honor, I'm not asking for the truth of the matter asserted. I'm saying he observed this person standing in that place.
Well, you can ask him if he observed Mr. Cox standing in that place.
Okay. Did you observe Mr. Cox standing in the room where he told you that the gun was?
I observed him standing in the vicinity. that he indicated.
And was that in the hallway or in the main room?
Now, I'm going to object to hearsay. It's non-testimonial, right, but it is still hearsay.
If the question is in relation to Mr. Cox showing or recreating or demonstrating, then the objection is sustained.
Where did you observe Mr. Cox standing when he went through the walkthrough to...
Well, that's the testimony that I'm saying is a form of hearsay. So please ask a different question.
I'm trying to understand, Your Honor. So what the witness observed is not relevant?
I didn't say that. Let's do a sidebar.
Okay. I would love that. Detective Koons, where would you place the shooter standing in that room?
I would place the shooter in the area of where the curve of the wall was, in the kind of the hallway entry area, somewhere in that general area.
So would you have, what direction would you place him standing? Facing, I mean. Not standing, but facing.
For which shot?
The first one.
The first one? In a more easterly direction.
Mm-hmm. And the second?
In a more northern direction with a slight deviation to the east.
So would you have him stepping forward? Is that what you're saying?
No.
What direction would you have him moving?
I didn't say the shooter moved.
You're just saying that he shot from a different angle?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you think he was standing in the same location?
I don't know that.
So according to where you put him standing with the first shot, the casing bounced off of the wall to the right and landed to the left.
Correct.
And then where you have him standing in the second shot, the same thing happened.
Approximately, yes.
And how far apart were those casings found?
I don't have the specific measurement of how far apart they were. They were a few feet.
So they're a few feet apart?
Yes.
So if he was standing in the same place, would they be a few feet apart? Or would they be closer?
It depends on a different amount of things, like how was the gun being held? Was it canted to the side? Was it not? What the angle was? Could the shooter have moved? A little, but it would have been the same general vicinity.
But you said he didn't move, according to you.
I said I didn't say he moved.
So he could have moved because they were more than a foot apart, the casings found.
A little, yes. Would have been in the same general area.
So he could have taken a couple steps?
Perhaps. Could have slid the body sideways. Anything that you can do to the body, it could have been done in a short area.
And is that common? And I don't know with shooting, if is that common with someone to shoot once and then move and shoot again?
Speculation, relevance.
I'll sustain it on speculation.
In your experience as a firearms expert who fires a lot of guns, right? Would that be a common thing to do?
Again, objection is speculation as to when, where, circumstances.
All right, I'll sustain the objection as to speculation.
Let's talk about Stippling. The first shot, according to you, had Stippling. Is that correct?
No.
It did not have any Stippling?
None was observed.
And the second shot?
None was observed.
No Stippling was observed?
Correct.
Is that what's in the ME's report?
I believe so.
That there was no Stippling?
Correct.
Can I have a minute, Your Honor? When you were observing the autopsy...
Short break.
Detective Coons, you were the scene agent that day on scene, is that correct?
Primarily, yes.
Did you work for someone else before Chandler Police Department?
United States Army, Arizona Department of Corrections, a couple other little jobs after I got out of the Army.
Did you work for Gilbert Police Department at all?
No.
And as the scene agent that day, you talked about you were there. Did you write a report about that day?
Yes, ma'am.
When did you write that report?
I don't know the day I sat down to write it. It was shortly after the event.
So close to July 11th, 2019?
Close to it.
Within a week, maybe?
Again, I don't recall when I specifically started typing that.
And when you arrived that day, who was there already?
Patrol officers.
Just them?
The fire department might have been there. Alex Cox was there. Other detectives arrived. I couldn't tell you the order of which everybody arrived.
And where did you park?
I parked north of the scene.
And then did you go directly into the house?
No, ma'am.
What did you do first?
Well, we received a briefing of what patrol officers had learned. We learned that there was a body inside the residence, and we came up with an investigative plan.
Who did that debriefing to you?
I don't think anybody specifically ran the debriefing. We, as detectives, gathered around the patrol officers, and they informed us, basically, of what they had seen and what they had been told.
And who were those detectives with you?
Well, Detective Duncan would have been there with me. Detective Moffitt would have been there. I didn't take a roll call of all the detectives there. Possibly Detective Inklin. I don't know.
Okay. And then where did you proceed after that? Debriefing.
Well, after the debriefing, I provided the information of what I had learned to Detective Kaminsky, who was still back at the police department, and gave him the information necessary to request a search warrant for the residence.
And then what?
We waited.
To get the search warrant?
Yes, ma'am.
To have it issued?
To see if the judge would issue it, yes.
And how long did that take?
Don't believe we got word back from the courts until it would have been probably between 11:30, 11:45, and then we made entry shortly thereafter.
So is it your protocol that you can't enter until the search warrant is issued?
That is what we do once the scene has been made secure, yes.
Okay. And then when you entered, who entered with you?
Myself, the crime scene tech, we were the initial ones. I think Detective Duncan might have come in with us as well, but that would have been the extent of the initial entry.
Do you know the name of the crime scene tech that was with you?
Jordan.
Is that the last name or first name?
The last name.
And then what did you do after that?
Well, after that, we continued to go with our normal process of having photographs taken. I did the lizard cue spheres. I completed getting information necessary for the diagram that was presented and continued to just do our job.
So is that protocol to do photographs first?
That would be our protocol, yes.
And then what do you do after that? I know that you were searching for the blood in all the rooms. When did that occur?
That occurs after the initial photographs are done, and then we can walk through and look in the particular areas that's been photographed already.
Okay, so the photographs are finished, and then you guys kind of walk through?
Or at least finished in an area that we can actually walk through, yes.
Okay. And then when did you set up the tripod after, how long after that?
So the tripod was set up after the area had been photographed. So that way I wasn't interfering with anything. And that way we're not having the tripod in our original photographs.
Both. Right. Makes sense. And do you think, so Detective Duncan was with you going through the house?
I believe he was there, yes.
So it was basically the two of you or three of you going through room by room, or were you split up, or how does that work?
We would have divided and conquered a little bit to make the search a little bit more expedient. But that, again, you're slowed to the time frame of what it takes to do the overall photographs.
So the photographs took about how long?
I don't ever look at my watch to see how long it takes because it's a big house, as you're aware. And I let the crime scene tech do their job. I don't push them and tell them that TikTok, there's nothing like that. It's do your job, we'll follow along.
Okay, and you guys started that process at about 11:45?
I think the actual time would have been closer to noon that we would have started that process.
And about how long did it take to go through the whole house, and about how long was that process?
Again, for me, I don't document how long it takes for any particular task because each scene is different. I just focus on doing the tasks. I rarely take a look at my watch to see how much time I'm spending on it because I want to do the job. I don't care about the time it takes.
And you did not pick up any of the evidence that was marked. That wasn't part of your protocol, is to take the evidence into custody. Is that correct?
Most of the evidence I did not pick up, correct.
And whose job is that?
We usually defer to the crime scene techs to do that. There are times that we will assist them with doing it, depending on what the item is.
So that day, was it Jordan who did that? Was he the crime scene tech that took that evidence?
She would have been the one that was collecting at our direction, yes.
And so you kind of point it out as the detectives, and then they pick it up and...
Correct, because they're trained how to handle evidence, how to package evidence, how to process. So we work in tandem together. We're the investigative body, and they're the scientific portion of it.
Makes sense. Okay. What time do you think that you, well, let's ask this. After you're done with the photos, and then you're done with checking the house, and all of the evidence is picked up and logged, then what else do you do at the house? What else did you do at the house that day?
Well, you just bundled that up into like tiny little package, but it took a long time to get to the point that you're talking about. So my day pretty much involved the scene. As far as ancillary jobs to go somewhere else or do other things, now my day was pretty much spent there on Four Peaks.
Correct. Yeah. So... When did you leave the residence then?
We secured from the house sometime between 4:30 p.m.
Okay. And what other tasks did I miss that you accomplished during that 12 o'clock to the 4:30 time? Oh. I just don't know what you were doing in there.
Well, we identify... the evidence items. We're looking for other evidence items. I am still doing the diagram, so measurements need to be done. We have to wait for the medical examiner to arrive because we can't do anything with the body until they show up. And then once they show up, we pretty much stop with the other projects until we can focus on the body and get the body out of there, because there aren't very many investigators for the medical examiner in the county. So we don't want to tie them up longer than we have to. And then we'll resume searching or identifying information, evidence, collecting it, and working our way to a conclusion where we can leave the scene.
So after searching the whole entire house, did you guys search the backyard at all?
It was searched.
Did you do that or did someone else do
that? I did not.
Who would have been in the backyard searching?
It would have either been another detective or we would have asked an officer to do it.
And what would they be looking for?
Any blood evidence, anything to indicate based upon the information we had of the event that took place inside that house.
So when you made your assessment, you were able to leave after that assessment was made, that everything was accomplished?
Oh, what assessment are you talking about?
That all the evidence was gathered and collected.
That I was satisfied that we had collected what we needed to collect?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
If we could just have Ms. Fallon look her reports away from the camera, it's showing.
Oh, is it showing? Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's... Actually, let's just turn that off until we need it. Thank you.
So you stated earlier that the weapon, the type of weapon that was found was a .45 caliber?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that a semi-automatic?
It is.
Okay. How is that different from like a revolver? What's the difference between that? Mm-hmm.
The build itself, I like to use simplistic terms when I describe what a revolver looks like. Most people are familiar with a Western movie. So the wheel gun, that's a revolver. What you see modern police officers carrying these days are semi-autos. So that's kind of the analogy I give to people that don't know guns.
And what's the difference between when you're shooting a semi-automatic or shooting a revolver, how fast you can shoot? Does that make sense?
The speed on which somebody can shoot is dependent upon the shooter themselves, the skill level they have, the weapon they might be using. There are a lot of circumstances and things that happen to be able to qualify that statement.
Right. And you have taken many gun classes, right, that we heard of?
And I'm an instructor, yes.
And you're an instructor. So when you're taking a gun class, is it common for them to say, is it common that they tell you to shoot center mass? Is that a common term?
That is what we train as police officers, is to shoot center mass. It has the highest probability of guaranteeing a hit on the adversary that you're trying to shoot.
Right. So if you were being attacked, you should point at center mass. Is that correct?
That is what's trained, and because stress can obviously create issues, but yes.
Is it a common term to say 2 to center mass?
No, that is something that I've heard, but I wouldn't classify it as common.
Would you teach that in your class?
It depends on what class is and what we're actually doing. If it's standard officers, no, I don't tell them to always shoot 2 center mass, no.
If it was a novice who was like taking a gun class for the first time, would you teach them that?
No.
What would you teach them?
You would teach them to shoot till the threat went away. And that can be with one shot. It can be with more than one shot.
Okay, that's fair. So in this particular gun, the 45, when the shells are ejected, where do they go?
Out and away.
So in this particular gun, do they go to the right or to the left?
I've not test fired this particular gun. I believe that most semi-automatics do eject the casings out to the right. Whether it's high right, low right, I'm not sure. It could be farther forward. It could be farther back. I did not test fire this gun, so I cannot speak specifically to how this particular gun ejects, other than most likely to the right.
But it could go to the left?
No, not the way the ejection port is set up.
So no guns that are 45s could go to the left?
Certainly you could have a left-handed gun set up that it would eject that way. But the way this particular gun is set up, the ejection port dictates which way that's going to go. When the slide cycles back, and that extractor pulls the casing back, the ejector is usually located on the opposite side of the extractor, and that will kick it out of the actual ejection port of the slide.
So for someone like me, who doesn't really understand guns too well, you would say that a right-handed gun, they would eject out of the right, but a left-handed gun, they could eject out of the left.
And they're very rare to see.
And do people have left-handed guns? I guess I never really thought about that.
Some people do.
If you're left-handed, you'd want that, I guess. Okay. So, in this particular case, when you said in your report that the shells bounced off the wall, they had gone to the right, like they were supposed to. Is that correct?
That is what I was operating off of, yes.
And then they would have bounced to the left.
Yes, because that makes sense.
And they would have gone, landed to the left of my husband. Is that where they were found?
Along the west wall.
Okay. But how close to the wall were they found?
The pictures show where they were found. They're relatively close to the wall, inches away.
I was going to say inches?
Yes.
Not feet, but inches.
Correct.
And so would that be a normal trajectory from hitting the wall to where they landed?
I am not surprised by seeing that, yes.
According to how fast they would be going. How fast does a casing come out of a gun? I don't really know.
I've never chronographed a casing coming out of a gun. I've only chronographed bullets. So I have no idea how fast a casing comes out. It doesn't come out with enough force to really hurt anybody.
So there weren't any divots in the wall or anything like that? Because
there could be microscopic divots, but it'd be very difficult to find.
And you didn't find any that were visible to the eye?
Nothing that caught my eye, no.
So were you there at the time when Alex did the walkthrough?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you were there. Did he describe where he was standing?
Object hearsay.
Sustained.
Did he show you physically where he was standing?
Object hearsay.
Sustained.
Was there a wall right next to where he was standing?
Object hearsay.
Sustained.
Your Honor, I'm not asking for the truth of the matter asserted. I'm saying he observed this person standing in that place.
Well, you can ask him if he observed Mr. Cox standing in that place.
Okay. Did you observe Mr. Cox standing in the room where he told you that the gun was?
I observed him standing in the vicinity that he indicated.
And was that in the hallway or in the main room?
No, I'm going to object to hearsay. It's non-testimonial, right, but it is still hearsay.
If the question is in relation to Mr. Cox showing or recreating or demonstrating, then the objection is sustained.
Where did you observe Mr. Cox standing when he went through the walkthrough to...
Well, that's the testimony that I'm saying is a form of hearsay. So please ask a different question.
I'm trying to understand, Your Honor. So what the witness observed is not relevant?
I didn't say that. Let's do a sidebar.
Okay. I would love that. Detective Koons, where would you place the shooter standing in that room?
I would place the shooter in the area of where the curve of the wall was, in the kind of the hallway entry area, somewhere in that general area.
So would you have, what direction would you place him standing? Facing, I mean. Not standing, but facing.
For which shot?
The first one.
The first one? In a more easterly direction.
Mm-hmm. And the second?
In a more northern direction with a slight deviation to the east.
So would you have him stepping forward? Is that what you're saying?
No.
What direction would you have him moving?
I didn't say the shooter moved.
You're just saying that he shot from a different angle?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you think he was standing in the same location?
I don't know that.
So according to where you put him standing with the first shot, the casing bounced off of the wall to the right and landed to the left.
Correct.
And then where you have him standing in the second shot, the same thing happened.
Approximately, yes.
And how far apart were those casings found?
I don't have the specific measurement of how far apart they were. They were a few feet.
They're a few feet apart.
Yes.
So if he was standing in the same place, would they be a few feet apart or would they be closer?
It depends on a different amount of things, like how was the gun being held? Was it canted to the side? Was it not? What the angle was? Could the shooter have moved? A little, but it would have been the same general vicinity.
But you said he didn't move. According to you.
I said I didn't say he moved.
So he could have moved because they were more than a foot apart, the casings found.
A little, yes. Would have been in the same general area.
So he could have taken a couple steps?
Perhaps. Could have slid the body sideways. Anything that you can do to the body, it could have been done in a short area.
And is that common? And I don't know with shooting, if is that common with someone to shoot once and then move and shoot again?
I'll sustain it on speculation.
In your experience as a firearms expert who fires a lot of guns, right? Would that be a common thing to do?
An objection is speculation as to when, where, circumstances.
All right, I'll sustain the objection as to speculation.
Let's talk about stippling. The first shot, according to you, had stippling. Is that correct?
No.
It did not have any stippling?
None was observed.
And the second shot?
None was observed.
No stippling was observed?
Correct.
Is that what's in the ME's report?
I believe so.
That there was no stippling? Can I have a minute, Your Honor? We're observing the autopsy. The ME didn't say anything about stippling?
I don't recall any mention about stippling.
And you didn't have a discussion with him about it?
We would have if he'd observed any.
And so if he said that to someone else, you would be surprised?
I don't know what he had in his notes. I didn't author his report.
Can you describe stippling for us? What that is?
Sure. It's basically a combination of particles that come out from behind or follow the projectile as it exits the barrel. A lot of times it's partial burned or unburned powder, and it's a short distance phenomena, so the person has to be extremely close for the pattern to actually present itself in the particles embed in the clothing or the skin.
So if stippling was found, how far away would the gun have to be from the victim?
That depends on the gun.
On this .45 semi-automatic?
I am not an expert on the stippling patterns. That is something that we would have to send to the lab for. And what they would do is they would test it with witness panels at different distances to give that information.
Is there an estimate?
That's where it would come in. Usually the medical examiner, if they observe stippling, will give an estimate of close or contact.
So would you be surprised if he said 2 to 4 feet?
If that's what he says.
That if there's stippling, then the gun would have to be 2 to 4 feet.
It's possible, but I wouldn't hold my hat on that, no. I would have to have the gun tested for that.
Okay.
Is this a good spot to break for the evening?
Sure, Your Honor.
I mean, I'm not cutting you off. If you want to ask a few more questions, that's fine.
Nope, that's fine.
All right, we'll take our evening recess. Members of the jury, please remember the admonition. I'll remind you to specifically avoid any outside information, any information about this case outside this courtroom. And we'll see you tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. Thank you.
All rise for the jury.
All right, the jury is no longer present. Please be seated. Will you inform us in the morning of exhibits you anticipate that you might need during the rest of your cross-examination prior to us starting? Because there are a lot of photographs to try to sift through to get the ones that you may need. You have a habit of when a witness answers a question to add something on the end of their answer. For example, during this witness, you said, I wasn't aware of that. Another time you said, I don't know much about guns. On previous witnesses, you've said, that's what I recall, or I'm not really sure. When you say those types of things, it's a form of testimony, okay? So I'm going to caution you to try to refrain from doing that. After the answer, just move on to your next question, okay?
Sure.
All right. Anything else from the state?
Yes, Your Honor. I received information that a couple different detectives have been subpoenaed and asked to appear tomorrow. There was no phone number for them to call in to say they received their subpoena, and they were asked, and I would advise them that they need to come here, but I am happy to pass that along, or I wasn't sure if they need to come here tomorrow or not, but I've been asked to.
All right, so I'm clear. The defense subpoenaed a few detectives. The information in the subpoena says they need to appear tomorrow?
Correct, along with one civilian who also reached out to us, Joe Pongrass.
Okay,
Detective Moffitt and Joe Pongrass are who I'm aware of. We were given a subpoena with no number to call and confirm. It just says to come here tomorrow.
It was my understanding that the subpoenas were to say to call to check in beginning on the date tomorrow because we didn't know where we would be at this point in trial.
Who do you want them to call to see when they actually need to be here? Because obviously the state's not going to finish their case this week, I don't think.
Correct.
I can give the defense their numbers. Obviously if she wants them to come here and I would tell them that, I just was passing that along as that is obviously.
So it sounds like the subpoena may have been missing some information of who they should check in with to make sure they report on the correct date and time. So who do you want them to call? Those witnesses? Your investigator?
Yes.
And okay, so we don't need to put it on the record, but the state will pass the investigator's name and number along to those witnesses, and they'll call your investigator, but you're saying they don't need to report tomorrow, correct?
Correct. I didn't get to see those subpoenas. They went straight from my paralegal to OPDS, so I'm not quite sure what they said.
Okay, so I'll direct the state to provide that information, contact information, and that those witnesses just need to stay in contact with the investigator.
Perfect. Right,
anything else for before tomorrow?
No, Your Honor, that's it.
From the defense?
Nope.
All right, we'll be at recess. Thank you. You can step down.
What time do you get back? I can't put her on the back of the motorcycle and drive her there, can I?
You could go with us. We could just all do it.
Okay, what are we doing?
Yeah, we're keeping it in the room right here.
And then bring it back.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.